Welcome to The Walking Dead with three stupid guys. All four stupid guys are here. We have Matt, Slash, and Russ. We're all here to talk about The Walking Dead. And then after The Walking Dead, we'll go into sports talk with three stupid guys. So if you're not into sports, you might even want to listen to it because some of our best stuff, I think, is in sports talk with three stupid guys. So that's part of the whole thing. And if you like these two shows and other shows like this, you can become a patron. Go to patreon.com/JayandJack. Or go to our website, jayandjack.com, and go under patron. Click on the button, become a patron. It helps support this podcast and many others on the Jay and Jack Podcasting Network. Take it away, Matt.
Oh, great. Yeah, thanks for joining us again. I guess we'll jump into the feedback. When I just want to clarify that when Jack did say Jack, when he said Matt Slash Russ, he actually means Slash as a person and not just.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's Matt.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Slash and Russ. And it looks like two of them are already in their costume. We got Slash and Russ.
Do you know where you are?
Russ is playing a zombie.
I thought I was in the jungle.
Actually, according to my picture, I'm trying to be North Turner.
Okay. You could be Mike McCoy, too.
True.
We'll get to, I guess, how everybody liked this episode maybe towards the end. Before we get any further, if you do want to send us feedback, just a clarification, Sherry and our Facebook group, Paige. She does a great job. Does a really good job of posting about the show and giving all of the places where you can send our feedback. One note is that our email address, just to clarify, is thewalkingdead3sg@gmail.com. And that's so it's basically the title of the show, The Walking Dead, the number 3SG for stupid guys. @gmail.com.
So that might be our fault. Cause we might have said Walking Dead with three stupid guys.
We're pretty dumb. But you can also call in feedback at 385-309-0311.
And if you want to guarantee your call being played, all you have to do is call.
And hey, can you repeat the number?
385-309-0311. Calling time with your questions, comments, and or theories.
All right.
And happy Halloween now, to all you zombies out there.
Yeah. We're in the witching hour right now. So on with the show.
This is it.
Ah. this episode was called The Well. And we'll get to that. Why it's called The Well. There's a clear Ezekiel parable. I don't know. This guy just likes to throw out.
I was thinking it was called The Well since. Can we just move on to episode number 3?
Oh, wow. Okay, Jack's already throwing daggers there at the feet.
Well, somebody has to.
Okay. Let's start with the episode. Carol is being taken back on a horse-drawn cart. And it's kind of dreamlike. We see Morgan off to the left, and we hear some talking. Carol falls asleep. And awakens to some nightmare fuel situation where she's straight up tripping for all intents and purposes. She's actually seeing illusions of walkers being normal humans.
I think she has post-traumatic stress syndrome. And I think she's just seeing people that have died over time. Would you say that?
I was thinking it was people that have died or people that she's killed or whatnot.
Yeah.
Mike?
I didn't see anybody looking at flowers when she was going through those flashbacks.
Well, she's been through a lot, so anyway, what does Slash have to think?
I thought it was like pretty cool visually. It looked like something I've not usually seen on The Walking Dead. Like it looks sort of like something you see in like the movies or a video game. Like the right. Sort of slow motion
yeah.
Getting in and out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or a music video, GNR style. You could almost call it November Rain, except, you know, it's still October. Anyway.
In 3 minutes, it will be November.
Oh, right. Make it rain. Anyway, I just want to point out that I feel like the Walker kill of the week should go to this face-off that we see. This guy that just slices up. That was just pretty awesome.
But are we stunned anymore with the Walker kill of the week? I mean, it's to the point where it's like, I think we've been talking about this for a few seasons now. How many different ways can you kill a Walker? Does it matter anymore?
Yeah, like when they show the montage on the Talking Dead, like, here's the Walker kills of the week. I basically just like, all right, commercial break.
Yeah, I mean, just
something else.
I mean, the Walkers are part of the series, I guess, because it's, you know, the Walking Dead, but it's, we no longer fear them anymore.
That's a different show. It's on during the summer. Fear the Walking Dead.
Okay, there we go. Fear the Walking Dead.
That's the show that we're afraid of.
I gave up after a season.
That you made it longer than I did. I made it three episodes, and I just kept falling asleep.
I like the main character.
I made it an episode and a half.
Wow!
And you know
is
what?
Golf Rooms apply on this one.
I ran out of room on my DVR, and I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to record this one anymore.
So 50, you have 50 shows on your DVR, and you said, nah, I don't have no room for this one.
Russ had all the double episodes of Turned.
you know, like 70% of that is just all hockey, right? Like,
a lot of it was Deadliest Catch and Turned.
You know, one of the on our poll on the Facebook group, your Johnny Appleseed, people do consider him an American hero.
He is.
So I apologize to the Canadian because you won out. Of course, like three people said, who? And I put on there, really, who? Come on. You don't know who Johnny Appleseed is. Come on, man.
He wasn't a fighter, though, just to clarify.
He wasn't a fighter, but he was Johnny Appleseed. Grew apple trees. How do people not know this? What are they teaching kids in school today?
Most recognizable Johnnies. Johnny Appleseed, Johnny Rockets, Johnny Football.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson, Johnny Unitas.
Johnny Come Lately.
Johnny Come Lately.
Johnny Five.
There you go.
And don't forget about Little Johnny.
Little Johnny. Johnny Be Good.
Yeah.
But Johnny Appleseed. Yeah, come on. He's got to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll have to be the question of the week is how many Johnnies can you mention?
I don't know.
You're not in charge of the polls, thank God. All right, back to the recap, because we've got a long show ahead of us. So anyway, we see Carol and this group of raiders heading back to the kingdom. Oh yeah, they save her, by the way. You know, big surprise there.
Yeah. Did anyone think Carol was going to die in this?
Hey, by the way, I didn't see Paul Revere.
They were just dressed up kind of like raiders, right?
You mentioned raiders, like Paul Revere.
Sure. I was thinking more like Fallout.
Paul Revere and the Raiders. There you go.
That's it.
we
have our history mentioned again.
Who?
What? Pretty interesting stuff, though, about Johnny Appleseed, because I was reading up about him after the fact. I was like, huh. He died in Fort Wayne. Died in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So he's.
I didn't. Very close to where I grew up. So.
Hey, you got to say it like Johnny Carson. I did not know that.
So they don't have like a statue of Johnny Appleseed where he died, with like an apple tree planted there.
No. But apparently he died kind of just sudden, all of a sudden, is what it said.
You know what it is? He choked on an apple seed.
they did mention that the Johnny Appleseed was basically the Bacchus of America, and that he, the apples that he planted and he spread across.
We're three stupid guys, and you're using a word like Bacchus?
Sorry, that's the god of wine.
Okay.
In Greek mythology, so sorry. Yeah, you know, all that art history. So, and I could even be wrong. It could be Roman. Bacchus could be Roman. I get those mixed up all the time. But to clarify, though, The apples that he was planting were of a cider variety and not necessarily of an eating baking.
So he was like probably apple cider, like we had like probably alcohol in it.
Right, exactly. So he was spreading the actual the goodness of
he was trying to get America
free liquor.
He was trying to get America, he was trying to get America drunk.
He was spreading the fermenting kind.
Yeah. He had a slogan. It was called "Let's Make America Drunk Again."
There you go. Which is, I think, best for everyone during this election. You think that I remember as a kid, as a video. Well, we didn't have videos. We had the projector with the film, actual film. And I remember seeing a video where he just walked to town to town. He'd have a big bag of apple seeds, and he'd plant apple seeds. That's how I know Johnny Appleseed is the guy that planted the seeds.
Is Johnny Appleseed related to David Pumpkins?
No, I don't think so.
No. That's great, though, David Pumpkins.
I can't believe nobody came dressed as David Pumpkins tonight.
I wanted to.
That's a fancy suit. And nowadays, you know, that fabric probably was cost nothing to make. But now that fabric's, you know, if you want a David Pumpkins suit, it's going to cost you.
I'm going as Johnny Appleseed. I'm gonna go,
I'm gonna go as Johnny Carson.
Gonna go as Paul Revere.
There you go, Mike.
Mike actually
I'm showed trying up to get through tonight, man.
Mike actually showed up. We're the three stupid guys here. All right, back to the show. We see Morgan. He puts a for sale sign in his little hobo mark language on the mailbox, and he flips it up. Return to sender. And they walk on. I don't know. He put some mark on that. But address.
No, I'm just saying. I was just thinking some Elvis. Return to sender.
Return to sender. That's all I kept thinking about. I mean, he flips it up like, "Hey, there's mail in here."
Hey, that was that song. That song was actually on Castaway.
Was it?
Yeah. There at the end.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, when he was delivering the final package that saved his life.
Huh.
You know who stars in that movie? David Pumpkins. Look it up. It's a fact.
Oh, he's in that movie?
David Pumpkins?
Yeah.
In Castaway? He's in the whole movie.
Does he play Wilson?
He played Wilson.
You know, is there any chance we get Wilson on this podcast?
He might make the podcast go a little bit faster.
Wilson! Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Remember, his dentist's last name was Spalding.
That's true. And at his dinner where he was saved, they had nothing but seafood.
Yes.
For your guy, it's been an island for 10 years. A spoiler.
I'm gonna have to put spoilers in the show about Castaway here. All right. Carol wakes up after being in the hospital for 2 days or wherever they're at. There's wind chimes. It's basically another it's a safe haven 2.0 wherever they find themselves.
Alexandria 2.0.
Yeah, kind of.
Except the wall is still up.
Well, and I mean, as she wakes up, Morgan kind of puts her in this wheelchair a la Locke and kind of wheels her around the place, explaining how he's been helping out because they helped them in kindness. And he's kind of given her the heads up of like, "Hey, this is how it went down. And this is how I explained it. And by the way, we're about to meet Ezekiel." And he's got his own thing. I like kind of how he prefaces it with this, you know,
he kind of looks like Slash.
He's got the
drips. Yeah.
He kind of has the whole Bob Marley thing going on.
I was thinking like of a really old Lenny Kravitz, you know.
Actually, I was thinking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, with the guy, the guy's in charge of Christmas toys, you know, not the Christmas toys, but the misfit toys, you know, the dragon lion type thing. I don't know why, because he had the tiger there and stuff.
I don't even want to get you started on Santa Claus. Okay, this is a dark path that we know.
Well, he's a racist.
Yeah. That's great. I'm sorry. Now I just can't. I can't help imagine like little elves picketing. You know, make the North Pole great again.
Yeah, because they're all. There's no way Santa Claus gets my vote. There's no way.
Yeah. I think the dentist plan that Hermie came up with is pretty much Obamacare 2.0. I mean, we can all say that.
And you're forcing people to work in these factories. What's up with that? Come on.
It's a socialist nightmare. Anyway.
And God forbid you have a red nose. You're banished from the town.
Probably drunk on that apple cider. More. I'm never going to get through this. I've got like 3 pages of at least review.
Does this recap have an ending?
This recap doesn't. You know, last week was so easy. Rick goes out, comes back. His will is broken. Almost cuts off his kid's hand. And everybody has a happy ending.
Does the recap include any reindeer games or planting of apple trees?
Not at all. That wasn't listed. I actually did look up stuff about pomegranates,
you can't plant apple trees in the North Pole. They wouldn't survive.
I don't even know how we got here now.
Then a tiger showed up.
Okay. Tiger shows up. Thanks, Flash. Tiger shows up, and then we cut to the title sequence.
Wait, was that a Cincinnati Bengal tiger? Because we know that's not going to – it's just not going to end well for them.
It could be a Detroit tiger.
We'll save that for the sports talk later.
There you go. There we go.
If we ever get to it, fast forward to that conversation. All right. So anyway, we're introduced to this King Ezekiel who happens to have a tiger, which is his own thing, right? That's the thing that –
that's in the comics, right?
Failed to.
Yeah. Refuse.
That's in the comics?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, from what I understand. And I didn't know how they would do this. Apparently, they used a CGI tiger. And they spared no expense.
I thought it looked pretty good.
It's the third episode in a row where Tiger has been mentioned.
Really?
Yeah, well, the other two, remember Catch a Tiger by the Toe?
Oh, yeah. What was before that?
Well, at the end of the season, he did the same thing, remember? Catch a Tiger by the Toe.
Oh, okay.
Kind of get twice there.
Yeah.
All right. And remember, in the next episode, it's going to be Catch a Tiger by its Toe. In fact, that's the title of the next episode.
That's pretty good research, no bad, Russ there.
Nice job, Russ.
All right.
Yeah, well.
I'm not ready to give you an A this week yet.
Well, okay. when I saw the tiger, actually, I was kind of sitting there going like, hey, Negan can actually catch a tiger by the toe if he really wanted to.
Oh, well. Good on you. Did we all like the tiger part though? I mean, is that cool or what? What did you think, Jack?
I thought it was cool. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was pretty cool because it was kind of like the first time we've been introduced to like animals as being a pet kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a freaking tiger. Of course it's cool. Come on now.
Yeah. No, I like Mike's enthusiasm. Yes, exactly. I thought
Carol and Morgan were kind of calm though. Weren't they calm around the tiger though? If I am wheeled into a thing and I see this guy who's calling himself a king, it's kind of strange. Mm-hmm. I say, okay, he has a tiger that if he let go of the chain is going to rip my head off.
Right. Yeah, you're going to remain very calm, and I think that's why Carol reacted the way she does.
I agree.
Basically goes in her.
But 2 episodes prior, she was ready to die, so that would be a pretty quick death right there.
Be a bad death, though. Would it be a? I don't know.
Oh, it seems a little quicker than being shot in the hand, shot in the knee. As she was dying in the season finale.
All right, worst way to die, being ripped apart by a tiger or a zombie?
No, I'm saying the way she was getting killed by that guy in the season finale, he was like slowly killing her and dragging it out.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the worst way to die, though, a zombie or tiger?
Seems pretty quick by a tiger.
I would think so.
Yeah, right. The tiger's going to at least rip your throat out and you'll bleed to death, you know, at least faster. By the way, she heals really quickly, right? Like 2 days, and she's I'm good. You know, no problem.
She's caring.
She had the summer off. It was like 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, I was confused about the timeline just because of the way this episode started. It was very disjointed, and I'm like, what's happening? Like, and then even the way that Morgan, right before they go in to see Ezekiel, he's kind of explaining how it happened, and I'm like, is that how it happened? Like, how did you take care of that guy, and how did that go down? And, you know, so anyway, back to the story. We meet Shiva, of course, and we also meet Jerry, who is the next best comic relief that we've had in a while.
Instantly jumped into my top three favorite characters on the show.
Right? I think a lot of people, I saw in some of the feedback too, even Scott, Eric in the Facebook group agreed. He said it's his favorite character on the show now.
Wow.
It's like such a contrast between Ezekiel and Jerry. Like just the names, Ezekiel, like a totally different name. Right. He's got common...
But he's the king.
And you got Ezekiel doing all these old kind of speaking lines, and Jerry's like, yeah, dude, cool.
Yeah. Excellent.
Well, I mean, it does seem that though Ezekiel is keeping up his appearance in front of Jerry. So, you know, but of course, you know, they are in front of Carolyn, and that Morgan. Is part of the, Morgan. So... as soon as they get out of earshot, basically, though, Carol's like, let's cut the shit, Morgan. Like, what's going on? So,
because Carol was baking cookies, Carol, back in Alexandria. She was faking who she is. She wasn't being honest to who she was.
And, well, and she was doing that, obviously, putting that on airs for Ezekiel.
Right.
But at first I was like, is she still tripping? Like, for a second, I did wonder, like, has she flipped completely? Like, is this who? And I was kind of scared. I was like, man, this could go bad, like, for this character of Carol that we've grown to love. But one last thing, the pomegranate is brought up a couple times. And, you know, I did a little bit of looking into the pomegranate. Apparently, as Ezekiel puts it, sweet fruit surrounded by bitter, a contradiction. This idea of the contradiction, it comes up again at the very end of the episode, I believe. And I think, Jack, you kind of even pinpointed it, the idea of Jerry and Ezekiel, like those are contradictions. And they're both kind of next to each other. It's like Jerry, the comic relief, deuces, man, you know, where... Ezekiel is more the illiterate, like, oh, Jerry, you doth, I don't know, kettle my bottom, or I don't know. It was something about a kettle something. Anyway, the pomegranate, for the most part, represents fertility and obviously, like, fruit. But a couple other things that came up, the Greeks referred to it as fruit of the dead, and it has some allusions to... actual gods and the life and the changing of the seasons. I won't go into the details of that. Interestingly enough, Armenia sees the pomegranate as a symbol of marriage. And then Moses also was brought fruit from the promised land, and that fruit was the pomegranate. So, just some interesting pomegranate talk there.
So my question, I had a question about pomegranate was, I didn't think though, I thought those needed to be a different, the DC
climate?
Area.
Right.
Yes. The DC area promotes to grow the mat.
Right. I agree with that. And weirdly enough, I thought about that and I thought, well, they have access to the city that they're going into quite a bit. So perhaps there's a greenhouse there.
Aren't they somewhere in like Virginia?
Right. That's correct.
So that's what, a couple hours away?
It looked like Atlanta again.
I will say that this was just in my notes of the trivia that the city skyline that we see at the beginning of the episode is actually of Roslyn, Virginia. So Yeah.
Right. And, but my the thing was, is I'm like, I don't know Virginia being a state that grows pomegranates.
Right. So that's why I'm saying, like, somewhere in the city, there's a greenhouse with a tree. Clearly, he has access to resources. And this fruit of plate that he's pushing on her is this symbol of, like, hey, if you eat from the tray, you got to refill the well. You know what I'm saying? And Carol, rightfully being skeptical, doesn't eat the fruit.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to owe. She's been through horrible crap with lots of different weird people. It's like she doesn't want to owe this guy anything.
And that was staying true to her character, and I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, she calls it a circus. This is playtime with make-believers. I mean, you know, she's basically like, look, Morgan, as soon as the Bob Dylan montage starts playing, I'm out. So.
Or if somebody shows up dressed as Slash, she's out.
And for people playing at home, if you don't want to know what we're talking about, just go on YouTube under Jay and Jack and Walking Dead 3.2.
I'm sure it'll pop up on our Twitter feed tomorrow.
Yes, and I also do post the YouTube links in the show notes as well, so you can always click on that and you know, just kind of see exactly what Mike does look like as Slash, or Russ's glowing orb of an avatar.
Can you change the picture up, Russ?
I don't know how.
Well, you somehow got this picture.
Yeah, I don't remember how I got it up there.
All right, Matt. That's what
I think whenever okay. I think whenever I first signed up for it, it like asked me if I wanted to import a picture from my contacts, and I was like, yeah.
Should have a thing that says account settings.
Oh,
change it, picture. Yeah,
I'll tell you after the show, Russ.
I'll have to delve into it a little more.
All right.
You know what?
So
I'm gonna try and find a Johnny Appleseed picture.
There you go.
Oh,
how about nice. You dress as Johnny Appleseed?
Either that or rags, a picture of a nice scrumptious cheeseburger.
That would be seems better. Appropriate.
Russ cheeseburger seed.
Russ dressed as a Johnny Appleseed eating a cheeseburger.
There you go.
Okay. Cut to the next scene after the commercial break and our banter. Ezekiel takes Morgan to with Richard, Ben, and a couple other guys to hunt pigs in town. Trying to read my notes here. We learned that they are filling half the pigs full with rot, essentially. So
nice.
Some of these pigs, they're eating themselves, I think, but the other half, they're letting them eat the zombies, which at first I thought,
tainted
wow,
meat.
Cool. They're breeding these. Yeah. I don't know. I had this whole pig theory going like at the beginning, first halfway through the show. I'm like, oh man, maybe he's getting it so that these pigs like want to eat flesh, and these are going to be zombie
hunting
killing
pigs.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what I was thinking. I was like, you know, they're having babies and they go and eat you know, it's like, that's pretty cool. But that did not go the way I thought it would.
It was a good theory. It's a great theory why it lasts.
Yeah. Like most crackpot theories, they can sometimes fizzle out before the episode's over.
It happens.
It happens to the best of us. But what shouldn't happen is that Ben fails to kill a walker twice. He tries to take one on with a machete, as he's been taught.
Rule number one, you don't hit the walker in the shoulder. You got one spot to hit the walker. It hits him in the shoulder.
Yeah, right. You couldn't have gone for the brain.
Yeah, come on, Ben.
Yeah. Well, but then there's this other scene where Walker's coming at Ben, and Morgan takes him down with the staff, at which point this brings Ezekiel to press Morgan to teach Ben the ways of the Force and become a staff-wielding master Jedi like himself, and even practice the art of not killing. Even though that's not brought up, it's subtext clearly through this episode. Ezekiel in his conversation with Morgan lays down this The pessimistic bumps his head as the optimistic loses his footing, but you're the realist, man. You're real. Which I think we can at least read between the lines in the fact that he's just met Morgan, right?
Right.
But Ezekiel immediately takes Morgan into the fold in a way that I think and I think later on when we see him approaching Carol, I think that Ezekiel recognizes both of them as fighters, and he needs fighters.
Awful trusting, though, to bring someone.
Trusting with a lot of the secrets, right? Like he lets in on the pig secrets, and right. The other guy's like, "Don't tell nobody about the pigs and other stuff." I'm like, "What other stuff? What were you doing?"
Brings him into the inner circle. I thought awful quick.
Yeah. Anybody else want to chime in on that? Like, raise any alarm bells or?
You're supposed to get the idea that Ezekiel is a good judge of character.
Right.
Good at reading people.
I think that's what we're supposed to believe. And soon after Morgan says, "Okay, I'll teach Ben the ways of the Force, become a staff master." That's when cue the Bob Dylan music and Ezekiel's like, "All right, I knew it, man. You're my brother," or whatever. That's basically the sentiment. And I think it is. I think it's the fact that he's over the top optimistic. He mentions it in his little monologue at the end with Carol, but he chooses to fill the world with optimism as a way of battling against all of the dark stuff.
Is that not a good way to look at life, where maybe being positive in this, you know, zombie filled world that where people are just killing each other for nothing, maybe being positive is the way he survives and maybe how he copes.
So like if he would have had a situation where with Carl and Carl is about to lose his arm, he would have like, "See, you still got three limbs left. Look on the bright side. 75%.
You still got an eye. Back up, buddy."
This is the greatest day in the world to cut off my son's hand. I couldn't think of a better way to spend it. I mean, we can play catch after this. Oh,
well, catch with his arm.
Okay.
Well, you could.
We can
you
throw could the use, old you, pigskin around.
You could use his arm. You know, you could use his arm as a frisbee and see if, or as a boomerang and see if it comes back.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming back unless you bend the thumb and stuff the right way.
But the pigs could bring it back.
The pigs well, could they, would it. They would the pigs retrieve it, or would they just stop and eat it?
That's you're probably right.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, during the Bob Dylan montage, because it is a montage, we see that the this music isn't coming from anywhere, but is being conducted by some pregnant yoga instructor. We see gardening. We see shots of basically Carol. We see Morgan training Ben. We see Carol stealing chocolate and a knife. And then yet we see, again, more of Morgan training Ben. So in this whole scheme of things, Morgan trains Ben three times in one day. I don't know.
Well, Ben's now a Jedi master.
I guess so.
he's got a young Padawan now.
What I don't understand is, like, are we to believe that this Bob Dylan chorus group sang for the whole week? Like, is this much time passing, or is this just one day? So
why does Ben if they're not fighters, why does Ben have to learn how to fight?
So he can stay alive.
Well, because that's exactly right. What he says.
Okay.
So he wants him to live. It's important that he lives. And
why is it important Ben lives? What's Ben holding the key to the future?
He doesn't have that many lieutenants or people he could trust.
No, okay.
Well, I think he feels obligated because of what happened to Ben's dad. So also,
when he lost Ben's dad, he also lost like what, seven or eight other people who were probably pretty high up there, who were probably helping that kingdom.
In this montage, we see Carol shaking down the cobbler guy, known as Kevin. There's a really great cobbler talk. I kept thinking of Russ eating a hamburger cobbler.
Are you a fan of peach cobbler or apple pie? What would be your choice?
I would take peach cobbler all day long. Actually, my favorite kind of cobbler is blackberry.
Well, you take peach cobbler because you're not American. That's why you would go against American apple pie.
What are you talking about? The Georgia peach? It's as American as the California peach.
Nothing's American as apple pie. Ask Johnny Appleseed.
But my
apple cobbler
favorite one would be rhubarb, which is very difficult to find down here.
I don't think I've ever had rhubarb pie.
It's very good.
My parents used to make it all the time.
Strawberry rhubarb pie is like a Canadian staple.
And for long time Jay and Jack fans, this is a question from the Ramblecast from like 7 years ago.
It is.
Jay.
Hey, maybe that could be like the, maybe that could be the question, apple pie or peach cobbler.
I will put that on there.
All right. After the cobbler talk and basically Carol stealing more clothes because she's going on the road.
She sold the right fitting clothes. She found the clothes that just fit her. I mean, I can go to Kohl's and can't find clothes that fit me, but no, Carol was able to find the clothes in the end fit her perfectly.
It was convenient too, because Kevin's been folding all day. It looks like
I fold all those clothes, and you sit there and take them. Just take it out of the dirty clothes.
Like, he's not going to notice, right? He's folded all of those clothes. Clearly, those go to another person.
Well, maybe he did notice, and he's the one that squealed on Carol.
Oh, right. Hey, this lady, you know, she psyched me out by getting tissues for her, so.
She snagged my Johnny Appleseed overalls.
And you snagged the next segue, which is Ben's last montage scene with Morgan. And I don't know, this kid's had more montage than Rocky. He really just wants to be a peaceful, intellectual AC repairman, not a fighter. He wants to read Morgan's book. He doesn't care what it is. It could be, Mein Kampf, for all we know. It's a philosophy.
It was a Johnny Appleseed biography.
Right.
That's why it was such a small book. No,
it's about Aikido. And the conversation's kind of getting to this, like, not fighting thing or whatever. But I think actually the next scene between the two of them comes back to this not fighting thing. But they're interrupted because Ezekiel needs them to join them. They're going to go pay the saviors. And I think that's where the commercial break is, or I don't know if it's a scene break. But next we get back to this showdown, right? Where they're meeting with this guy named Gavin. Took me a couple times to figure that out. Apparently, though, Gavin can't count eight pigs. Like I could look at eight pigs and I'd just be like, yeah, that's eight. But he audibly makes sure that we know that there's eight pigs. And as we know, eight is one of the numbers.
To be fair to Gavin, they probably don't have Sesame Street. And so how's he supposed to learn how to count to eight?
He might not even be able to go past that. We don't know. Anyway, his right-hand lieutenant man is named Jared, and we're also introduced to Richard, who apparently is a real dick. Jared and Richard really get into this, fight. I had it written in my notes as something else. I'm just not going to say that. Anyway, there's a little sparring of words. I don't know if I really need to go into the details of this. Somebody gets beat up, and Gavin threatens, Ezekiel that Richard will be the next, or he'll have to die, or whatever. I don't know. There's like, it's basically
Richard,
a threat.
Richard could obviously taken the guy, but he couldn't fight back.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. Richard is the stronger of the two. You know, this Jared guy is basically, he looks like the anti-Jesus guy.
He's a punk.
Like, anyway, what came out of that? I don't know. Oh, yeah, they gave away 8 pigs full of rotten meat.
Also is when you had another conversation between Morgan and Ezekiel where Morgan's like, oh, you brought me here to kill one of the saviors or whatever that group's called again. And he's like, quite the opposite. You save your life. So it's basically, I don't want you to kill people. Yeah. Or like.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good. Which that's Morgan, a good assessment.
Morgan is into. Morgan doesn't like to kill anyway, so that works out good for Morgan.
Yeah, so this is like their new BFFs, right? Like have this like whole like.
You don't like to kill either?
Hey, we could kill, but we don't want to. Yeah. Anyway, we cut back to after the commercial break to this heartwarming scene between Dutch and Ben. It's sappy every time I watch it. I really don't know how they can make this Ben guy any more pathetic. He's basically an orphan raising a box of kittens. They're orphans. I don't know. Like, seriously, this Dutch and Ben scene. Oh, he's a good kid. He'll eat his broccoli. Whatever. We learn, though, in this scene. Sorry, that scene just bothers me. We do learn in this scene between Ben and Morgan that Ben's dad was killed in a raider. They were out on a run or something. There was 8 men. Again, 8 pigs.
Yeah.
Is there a correlation?
I think so.
My initial thought was no. Ben's dad actually was killed, a la how we've seen Negan and his crew. He was smashed probably in, killed as a sacrifice. Yeah, and I think that the Walker story is a cover up. But
I agree.
I
think there's a little something.
I was thinking the same thing.
I think that's why he feels so obligated to raise that kid is because he let his dad. It wasn't necessarily about the Walkers killing him because we've seen Walkers.
Maybe it was like a Rick situation where you know he's the leader and he defies Negan and then Negan chooses Ben's dad to kill him, and of course now he feels guilty because it was his decision. Is that giving us foreshadowing what's going to happen with Rick?
Oh, I thought it was giving foreshadowing the fact that Ben's not going to make it, right? Like, come on, this guy's got he's got a you know he's a got, story plot waiting to happen.
He's got bad aim, that's for sure.
Yeah,
he reminds me of those the two kids there from Alexandria that. Couldn't handle walking through the walkers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like ultimate weenies.
Oh, Ben's a little bit better than that. But, yeah, you're probably right. All right. So, anyway, Morgan gets back. I don't know. He's like, oh, Carol, I forgot. She might escape. He goes back to her. Her bungalow room, boarded hotel room. I don't know.
With some broccoli.
Yeah, I like how the wheelchair's there. Like,
yeah, like, I didn't need that.
Yeah.
John Locke.
Yeah, exactly. I think Carol is the new John Locke, right?
Yeah, I can go that.
No.
No, she's smarter than John Locke.
Well, after the commercial break, we find that Ezekiel catches Carol in the Garden of Eden. Like, clearly, another, you know, biblical metaphor here. She's about ready to steal an apple in his garden, right? It's called the kingdom.
Who planted those apples? That apple tree?
Probably not Johnny Appleseed. Apparently, there's only one Johnny Appleseed tree left that they know. He planted.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And it's like it's in the middle of Ohio. Not Columbus middle, like
till some jerk kid takes a chainsaw and chops it down.
Don't even get me started, man. After the commercial, yeah, Carol's caught in the garden. Ezekiel dispatches Jerry, and we get the maybe the best line of the night. I don't know. It's a new arrangement on the peace out, right? Like we had Abraham give peace out, you know, to Sasha, and here we have Jerry's deuces. I'll be in hollering range. And here's basically where my notes trail off. Because I ran a little bit out of time here. I've watched the episode about three times though. Ezekiel does some cool fire trick by throwing a match and lighting up some stuff. Yeah. And I got to the point where he says that he doesn't want to bullshit a bullshitter. And he kind of calls Carol out. But then he doesn't, I guess this is where I really liked the episode for me, is that he doesn't turn menacing or dark or some echo of like the governor, like I'm going to force you into submission or, you know, offer violence as a solution. I'm actually going to kind of take off the mantle of who King Ezekiel is. And he just becomes real. And he actually, the manner of speaking changes and he becomes more real with Carol. And he's like, this is who I am. I was a zookeeper and this is how Shiva came about. And, you know, it's not practical. I liked the fact that they addressed that because at some point halfway through this episode, I thought, wait, how are they feeding this tiger? Are the pigs for the tiger?
Yeah, I thought, you know, like, it's funny. I thought the same thing. Oh, how much is this tiger eating? Mm-hmm. He does address it. I thought that was good writing there.
I was a little surprised that they revealed his character so soon. I thought The Walking Dead would have dragged it out a little longer, like two or three episodes. Like, keep you guessing. Is he good? Is he bad? Is this real?
Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't, because I think that, especially after the first episode, you know, and the first episode being so dark and so heavy with Negan, it was great that they had the polar opposite and they introduced us to a lighter character. It just makes a nice balance for the season because I don't know, the episodes can become really disjointed when they separate the groups. And I think that we've complained about it ad nauseum in the past where when the group or the story, fractures off, it's only supported so well by what's happening in that story.
Right.
Anyway,
or we think they're just dragging because the show does so well in the ratings. They can't end the story because the ratings. So they just kind of drag it on.
Yeah. Much in the same way as we do with our podcast. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Johnny Appleseed, anybody? You want to talk more about Johnny Appleseed?
I'm talking more about Russ.
I feel like we should have some hard cider as a advertiser, you know? So, anyway, I'm trying to remember kind of how this episode ends. It ends with Carol basically saying goodbye, but not really goodbye. She takes over the house that Morgan carved a little notch in.
The outskirts of the kingdom.
Yeah. She doesn't want to live in the kingdom. She just wants to live.
Right. Where Zico right can close enough to make late night booty calls and deliver pomegranate.
All right. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I do like how Morgan said, you're probably the best person I ever knocked out or something like that or got in a fight with.
And I think what Ezekiel might have said the same thing a couple hours later.
Wow. All right. Last bit of notes here for the episode. And sorry that my notes trailed off there. But there were twin actors used in the Carol dream sequence, which I thought was interesting. So, and this episode was supposed to be 76 minutes long, but they narrowed it down to 66. We usually like to do the opposite. Should be about 60 minutes, but then we add 10 minutes.
So. Oh, exactly. Give people their money's worth.
Yeah. This was supposed to be the third episode. And next week's episode was supposed to be the second, but they flipped the order. And
so that basically means that we're not going to get any a lot of major characters in next week's episode either.
Well, no, you'll get all the characters that weren't in this week's episode. So you get Rick and all them.
All right. I can live with that.
I guess we'll see.
Ezekiel Carroll next week. At all.
That's my notes for this episode. What did you guys think? So, Jack, do you want to go first since you were...
I didn't hate it. I mean, I understand what they were doing. The character seems interesting enough. And what's he doing? Why is he not a fighter? He's just trying to keep his people safe. So he's basically doing what Rick has been told he has to do on the first episode, that he has to provide for Negan and his group. And if he doesn't, someone's going to die. And I think what we talked about earlier, that Ezekiel's problem was Ben's dad died because he stood up to him. And so Ezekiel has guilt. But eventually, I mean, how can you keep providing? I mean, there are only so many pigs.
Right.
So much broccoli.
That's what I was thinking.
So eventually they're going to have to fight. And will it be Carol leading? Will it be Carol be the one that teaches Ezekiel that he has to fight? Because Carol can't be playing June Cleaver all this time without her true colors coming forward. So I liked the episode. It wasn't my favorite because I wish The Walking Dead could do it where they get all three story, get a couple storylines going, but they don't tend to do that in the beginning. They tell one story, then tell the other story, and then eventually they mix together. But didn't hate it. Didn't love it.
So
okay, right in the middle.
I had a couple of things that I thought about it.
Go. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Is this what you were going to call me about the other night?
Yeah, I'll get to that one in a second. You know,
okay.
The first thing I thought about was this was another Alexandria setup where they've come across another group that doesn't know how to fight, and they're going to have to stand up and fight. And this is, you know, like I kind of felt like this is another whole Alexandria setup kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily it's going to be Carol or Morgan that teaches this group how to fight. I think it's going to be a combination of maybe they combine with Alexandria with this group and make a bigger army kind of thing.
Do you think maybe that Ben finds out how his dad truly died, and maybe Ben takes out Ezekiel?
Star Wars style?
Yeah, I mean, he's Morgan's training Ben how to fight, and maybe Ben has been told something about how his dad died, and that's not the truth, and then he just gets taken out. That Ben seeks his revenge.
I don't know. I don't know if he would take his revenge out on Ezekiel or not, or he might take it out on the, you know, saviors.
Yeah.
You know,
something's going to have to happen for these people to stand up and fight. Right now, they're very passive and they're just happy, you know.
Well, yeah, but I think that's where Rick comes into play.
Rick's beaten right now. Rick's a beaten man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He is.
Rick's a whole other story.
But I think, you know, maybe that's where Carol's going to, you know, Carol and Morgan's going to maybe help that out of him.
Well, Morgan doesn't like to fight, so Morgan's not going to teach him that.
They clearly do have some fighters as opposed to Alexandria, right?
Right.
So, like, if we were playing some kind of role-playing game, you know, like Alexandria would have, like, zero attack, you know, whereas this, they actually do have people with armor, people with weapons, you know, not great weapons, but...
You want to hear something funny? The first thing I thought about when I saw those guys with the whatever they were wearing, I was like, hey, yeah, these guys look like they could have been in the movie Tron.
Right.
Sure. I think we talked about that season finale. They did look like they're from Tron.
We did.
Yeah. So my question that I had, and this is why I called you, Matt, was, and I don't know if the comic book explains this or not, but it seems like Negan's group kind of has a hold on some of these different factions or whatever you want to call them, communities or whatnot. So my first thought was, remember how we talked last week that maybe Negan's group had been following Rick and them for a while now?
Yes.
So my thought to that was, how is it that Negan and them never took Alexandria if that community was such a thriving community? Like, why did they never attempt that one? Because it seemed like Negan would have been able to capture Alexandria like no problem at all, because those people had no clue how to do anything. So, and now that he's sending Rick back to Alexandria, you know, basically to work for him, and, you know, he'll be back in like, you know, a week or whatever to get whatever they get. I'm like going, obviously he knows that they're in Alexandria. How come Negan never took Alexandria to begin with? And I guess that's my question. Does that ever get explained in the comic book or anything?
I don't know, because I haven't read that far, for one. I stopped at it.
Doesn't it seem logical that Alexandria would have been attacked by Negan before Rick ever got there?
Like, I think there's two things. One, there was that big walker kind of brigade or whatever that they explained at the beginning of last season that kind of made it so that they weren't being inundated with lots of walkers. And maybe, and somehow that blockaded anybody from getting there. And then two, I like to think that maybe Negan's group has just never came across them. Or three, suspension of disbelief. And I'm going to go with three, suspension of disbelief.
Well, they also, Alexandria had a huge wall, and it did have guard towers. That's
true. Yeah, but I mean, Negan's group seem like they're pretty skilled.
They are skilled, but it doesn't look like they take, you know, chances.
No, but I mean, they it seemed like they're pretty tactful in, like, it doesn't, you know, the opening of the gate and everything they had, like, it seemed like it would just be very simple for them to have gone in there and attacked while that gate is open. Like,
I agree, but I think we just have to understand that Alexandria had nothing.
So for
I think we just have to understand that it just never happened. They just never met. Then all that time, they just never.
They know that Rick and them are in Alexandria. So they, at some point, they had to have learned that they were there. So why didn't that interest them to go take Alexandria?
It's a good question. I really don't have the answer for it.
Yeah, you know, and I don't either. I mean, I really don't. That's why I didn't answer my phone the other night.
Maybe they'll... Maybe it'll be addressed sometime during this season.
Okay.
Maybe a flashback. Yeah, like that
was my, that was my,
that's a good point.
I was kind of like, huh, how come they didn't take it beforehand? Like, now all of a sudden, you know, they're...
Yeah.
We can only hope
that the Walking Dead will answer those hard-hitting fan questions that you have, Russ, and I think you brought up a good one. How did it go down? I don't know. I really don't. And I haven't read the comic book that far. I stopped basically as soon as they got to Alexandria. And I kind of like being in the dark and then going back and reading the differences, but I just haven't taken the time to go back and pick up from there. So, but yeah, I think maybe, you know, maybe we'll find out in a conversation. Maybe when Rick goes back and he talks to them, maybe we find out more. So I don't know. Mike, you never got to say what you thought of the episode. What did you think?
Oh yeah, Less I really liked flash. It. I like of the introduction of the new characters. I thought they were good. They'll be a good additions to the show, adding some humor and some like positive good characters to contrast like the darkness of Negan and his group. So I really liked it. Of course, like Jack, you always want like all the characters to be involved, but I think I'm used to it by now that they're going to skip every other one. And that's the way it is on Walking Dead
just,
by now.
It'd just be nice if they just had like 10 minutes of, you know, what's Rick, how's he coping over there? What's going on? Just 10 minutes, but they just ignore it. They just go straight to the...
Come on, you had like 25 minutes of Ben montage you had to do.
That's true.
It's pretty much, you know, the hard-hitting questions like, is Russ drumming?
Yeah, I've heard that through the whole podcast too.
Or is it Slash? We'll never know.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here.
Okay.
All right. All right. Always blame the
Well. Anyway, I liked the episode much for the same reasons that Mike had mentioned. I liked the contrast, and at least to bring it back to that idea of contrast, you know, like he does mention that again to Carol at the end that the showmanship, that the overtopness, like it is, you know, it is absurd in a way, but that's, I don't know. It provides a little bit of lightheartedness, I guess, to all of the heavy stuff of last week. And I am kind of a condition now to just accept that we will skip around, you know, skip episode to episode. But I agree that I do like the combination of like multiple stories, or at least getting a little bit more, even if it's just at the end.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would be nice. So,
because it didn't,
well, we get it. Who knows?
It wasn't much of a cliffhanger. It didn't, you know, it just now it's a matter of, will Ezekiel and Carol hook up, which I think they will, but.
Just to get to a couple of Facebook feedbacks, because we don't have any email or voice calls this week.
That we can access right now. Susan, they're all stacked.
That we
up.
Can access. Yeah. but again, you know, and I won't go over the email. Just listen to the beginning again. But anyway, Susan on the Facebook brings up what happens when you eat pigs that ate walkers. So. And there's a little bit of dialogue about that as far as like, would they get sick? Would the people get sick? You know, we're kind of left wondering like what happens. Does Ezekiel even know? And his henchman, Richard. A lot of people, Mark, Sherry, and I think a couple other people had chimed in about how much they like Ezekiel. They like the character. And they liked... I think even Carrie had mentioned that they, once he confessed the story, he was basically, they were sold on, the character Ezekiel. So, so that was pretty much, you know, kind of the most of the feedback. And then there also was a comment, was Ezekiel showing up at Carol's house a booty call or not? So,
it was the attempt at a booty call. He did bring a pomegranate in it.
And what happens when the pigs eat the walkers is you get ham and brains instead of ham and eggs.
Huh.
I'm not sure if it was that or if maybe it was, you know, him letting her know that, you know, even though you're outside the kingdom, like, we're still here for you and...
I'm still here for you.
We're looking out for you, kind of thing.
I'm looking out for you.
Well, there was that important thing where he said, you know, you could not go and you could go. So the contradiction, I think that was the word that he brought back, the contradiction of the two, just like the pomegranate, sweet and bitter at the same time. So, yeah, well, I guess we'll see how Carol likes her new house. She killed the owner, buried him. So
yeah, that was nice of her.
Yeah.
Hey, how is the how is it supposed to work if someone calls in?
No, it's a voice call.
Right, like they can call from their phone, right?
Well, no, they call through the they leave a message on our voicemail.
We also accept faxes, carrier pigeons.
Yeah, exactly.
MySpace.
So
dead arms of children that you've hacked off.
Well, who do you know that's going to call in?
Corey. I have somebody trying to call in to ask a question.
Well, they can't call in right now, live.
So Russ, what can they do?
385-309-0311. Call any time with your questions, comments, and or theories.
And we can get to it next week.
And just for our listeners.
You won't be able to get to it now, right? You'll be able to do it for next week?
I need to send them an invite. They need to get on here. I mean.
Maybe they can call on your phone. You can get on your phone right now.
Yeah. We're actually going to get to sports talk. So just wrapping up Walking Dead, I want to let everyone know that we are recording on Monday nights now. So if you do have feedback, try to get it in Sunday night or during the day on Monday. So, and not live while the show is happening, Russ.
Watch the West Wing. Westworld second. Walking Dead first, and then give your.
So can I give you my crackpot theory?
Sure, give us your crackpot theory, Russ.
We need one.
Hold on a second.
If it sucks, you're off the show.
And if it's 2 hours long, we're going to cut you off.
I've got a crackpot theory.
All right.
When I saw this whole setting up of, you know, the kingdom and everything, my next initial thought was that Negan is going to have Rick's group go to the kingdom to like pillage it, and it's gonna pit Rick and those guys against Carol and Morgan.
Huh.
Yeah,
I like it, but why would Negan do that unless he knows that Carol and Morgan are over there and wants to see what Rick, if Rick was like the whole get my axe, go kill these people for me.
Well, I think it's the whole confrontation of where there's already been a confrontation between one of the saviors and their group. And I can just see Negan testing Rick to be like, okay, we've got, you know, good control over this group, but, you know, go over there and, you know, kill a few people and bring me back this just to try and test them. And then it's going to pit Rick and Carol against them.
I could see Rick's group running into into Morgan's group with Ezekiel, or even like a Strange, where they might have a showdown and they don't know that the other is on the other side or something. Like Morgan might not be with the kingdom and the Knights of the Republic or whatever they're called. And, you know, Rick's group might be running into them and kills one or something like that. And, you know, you might see some fallout there. I don't know if we'll see Negan pulling the strings, because I think that Rick's going to want to at least go back to Alexandria and be like, okay, we got to get some stuff together because we have to produce now, right?
Well, yeah, so. but that's the thing. Like, I think for them to produce, they can get it from, it seems like the kingdom has more than what Alexandria has. So they can just get it from there.
I like the way that you're thinking, because I had thought that perhaps, you know, Rick would be in that group, you know, pulling up for the pigs. But, you know, we might see something further down the line where two groups don't know each other and there's losses on both sides, perhaps. Or
so I was kind of thinking that there was going to be a reckoning going on here between the two.
Well, the two groups?
Yeah.
On Rob Chester News post-show recaps, they brought up the idea that Negan especially picked out Daryl because he wants Daryl to be his like lieutenant / right-hand man, and he thinks he can turn him. So what do you guys think about Daryl possibly becoming a dark side and joining up with Negan's group?
Hey, if it can happen to Anakin, it can happen to anyone.
Well, if you look at Daryl, who would have thought Daryl would have been Rick's right-hand man? when they first met. So anything's possible, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think especially if Daryl's feeling guilty that, you know, he got Glenn killed, I think he might, you know, be a little more submissive.
Like sort of when he was with that the claim group, and like he basically filled in with them pretty easily.
Right.
Right. Well, it might be interesting to see that happen as well. To see, Because I guess next week's episode is somewhat Daryl centric, is what I've been seeing posted about, but I haven't seen any trailers. So.
And that should be a wrap on The Walking Dead.
Good theory.
Yeah,
good crackpot theory, Russ.
Thanks. Yeah. I get to stay on.
Yeah, that was the only downfall of it.
But you're gonna have to bring us 8 cobblers next time.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I want apple pie.
How about I'll do 8 cheeseburgers.
Yeah, that would be easy for you. All right, that wraps up The Walking Dead. All right. Now we're going to go on to Sports Talk with 3 Super Guys. If you don't want to listen to it, you can either skip ahead or just I'm out of here. Interesting week of football. Go ahead.
I just was going to say, as a nice segue, though, we'd like to thank our patrons that do make the Sports Talk possible. They make the Walking Dead possible, as well as many other podcasts. That is Tack from Tokyo, Brad from Chicago, and
Eckhart Rickner, Blafelter. Thanks for doing what you do.
All right, that was the only thing I was going to say. See, Jack, go ahead with your beginning of your sports talk.
Sports Talk with 3 Stupid Guys is now on. Interesting week of football, I thought. We had a poll on the Facebook page. Will Matt's Colts win or will Russ's Chiefs win? And the people voted for Russ, and it turned out Russ's team was right. It was the Chiefs winning over the Colts.
Yeah.
They did.
I'm glad I missed most of that game. So
you sent us a note saying, don't spoil us. And I'm like going, about halfway through the game, I wanted to send you a thing. Don't waste your time. But I didn't want to do that to you because you have to, you have to see it for yourself.
Apparently, a lot of the Colts missed the game too.
At least their defense, right? Their offensive line.
It's one of those games where you're watching the red zone, and every time they're in the red zone, it's the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough to watch. So on Sunday was my anniversary, so was a little bit harder to watch a game when. You know, the wife's like, it's our anniversary.
Did you tell how many years, Matt?
12 years.
Well, congratulations. But on 12, after 12 years, you're allowed to say, no, I'm watching football.
Right.
You wait till I'm done and watch football. I'm telling you right now, if you say that, you'll be married for another 34 years.
Yeah, but then Matt remembered it was Colts football. He's like, anniversary sounds better.
Exactly. That was exactly my thought. I was like, you know what? The DVR can handle it. And if it's a really bad game, I will only have to deal with an hour of it and not 5 hours and a frustrated wife.
Being put in the penalty box is, the doghouse is not worth watching the Colts, right?
Especially right now when the Colts suck so bad. So congrats, Russ. Congrats.
Thank you.
You had some other interesting games. We had the Bills versus the New England Patriots, and someone threw a sex toy onto the field. Have you guys seen that?
I have. I haven't seen the sex toy up close, but I've heard rumors.
No, the rumors are. I'm thinking the rumors are true that Tom Brady took the and put it in his back pocket.
It's a lot of rumors going around about Tom Brady and that dildo. So
yeah, I don't know for a fact. I can't confirm nor deny it. To each his own.
Tim Tebow said he's never coming back to football again.
Because of the dildo incident, dildo gate 2016.
Yeah, it was shocking.
I really don't understand how anybody could identify a dildo on the field when there were so many New England Patriots on that field,
especially Gronk on the field.
Yeah,
I mean, really, it's like a Where's Waldo, but they're all Waldo, right?
Yeah, maybe it did fall out of Bill Belichick's pants or something. My dildo fell off, but I'm not an expert on dildos, so I don't know.
That's a trainer.
But yeah, I think a ref actually got confused, as opposed to pulling out a yellow flag, they just pulled out a dildo. They were like, that ball's deflated.
Or that's maybe Rex flag. Ryan. Maybe Rex Ryan was trying to challenge a call and threw a dildo out there instead of a.
Well, I heard the ref thought it was like an extra point or something. He kicked it off the field.
Oh man.
Anyway,
any more dildo jokes,
Patriots won that game easily. You have Cam Newton's out there. He's not happy with the way he's being treated as a quarterback.
Well, did you see that hit?
It was a pretty – but they called it. The one where he gets tackled.
They didn't at the knees? At the low –
the knees. Yeah, that one seemed a little odd. But, you know, I was watching the Charger games against Denver. Same similar play that wasn't called against Phillip Rivers. You know, I agree with Cam Newton. He does seem to get hit a lot. I think Denver's a dirty team. So the first game of the season, we saw them get away like four or five hits on Cam Newton. But he's a running quarterback.
Yeah, but still, since the start of the 2015 season, not one single roughing the passer penalty has been called on him.
But they said
that's pretty shocking.
I heard today on the radio, though, he's still, over the last 3 or 4 years, still there's 11 still quarterbacks. There's still 11 quarterbacks that have had missed calls on them more than Cam Newton. He's like number 12. But I agreed with him. I think that if in today's age, there's no way that a Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Manning when he played would not get these calls. There's just no way. I mean,
I'd even say a Jay Cutler would have gotten that call.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like was the fact that he's whining about it at the press conference. It's no fun.
I thought it was a good. Yeah, I thought it was. Well, they talked about it on Sunday Night Football, but I think they mentioned, like, you know, that he should have gone to the coach and had the coach
right. Have the coach do that. But I watched the game against Denver, and Denver just beat the snot out of Phillip Rivers. I mean, it was just nonstop, and you don't hear Phillip Rivers going up there and saying, "Oh, they should call." And there was a call where Von Miller takes the crown of his helmet and hits him right in the chest. I go, "Well, how is that not called?" It's a mess call. I mean, mess calls happen. But like you said, Matt, he should have gone to the coach and said, "Look, you need to stick, you know, Ron Rivera, you said, you need to stick up for me. You say it. I'm going to look."
I think it was Tony Dungy that said that.
Oh, did he?
On Sunday Night Football. So.
So I agree. I agree. There should have been, he is getting hit a lot,
mm-hmm.
but he shouldn't have been the one complaining about it.
I mean, if it was Tony Romo, he doesn't play. Yeah.
They don't need him.
So close on that Sunday night game. Jack and I, we picked the Eagles, and man.
Like most of my picks,
so close.
I got just screwed over. And we're back to firing Mike McCoy. He had first down on the 2-yard line, first and goal on the 2, and threw 4 passes. And you have Melvin Gordon, who has, I think, 10 rushing touchdowns this year. Not one rushing attempt. So it's time to fire Norv Part 2 and get another coach.
Yeah, but like my question is like, who would you guys get?
There's got to be somebody out there. I mean, it's not all his fault. I mean, they're down to. It's not even halfway through the season yet, and they're already pulling out players I've never heard of. So. I guess it is the halfway season mark, but it's, but still, you fourth and two and first and goal on the 2, and you don't run one play, not one.
I know you probably didn't catch the Eagles Cowboys game as much as I did, but there was a drive that the Eagles had. They were up by 7 at that point, and. They could have gone, if they could have just gotten a little bit further down, they could have gotten the field goal and made it another 10-point game. I think it was in the fourth quarter. Right when you needed to really wear down the clock. And they did that fake play that the Cowboys clearly were not successful at. But I think somebody's in the Eagles coaching staff were like, "Oh, but we could do it." And man, I don't know. It was like, you should have ran the ball. Okay, you're up by 7. You have the ball. You're driving down the field. They did that play, and then I think they got sacked back. I think they pushed Wentz back or something like that, and they lost yardage. Maybe there was even a penalty because it's, you know, it's Cowboys Stadium. Anyway, they got pushed back, so they couldn't even get the field goal. They had to punt the ball. Cowboys get the ball, drive it back down, get the touchdown to tie the game. It's like. You had to strike when the iron was hot,
right?
And not run a dumb trick play. So that was my dumb play of the week that I was like, really?
Some coaches,
because I skipped through most of the Colts.
They try and get too smart. Like McCoy, they got a touchdown. They went for 2, got it, but Antonio Gates was called for an illegal pick. You watch the replay. It was just a bad call. So now it's back at the 17-yard line, and he still goes for two. I said, at this point, you go for one.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out at the end, right, they were down by eight. So they would, you know, if they scored a touchdown, they still would have got the two. But he's just a bad coach, and it's time to move on. And Mike, your Dolphins were off, so you were happy.
So just watching that catch by Travis Benjamin over and over, the one-handed leaping touchdown.
That was a fantastic catch, but I guess now he's hurt, so he might be done for the season too.
Of course, he plays for the Chargers, so you got to lose one player per week.
It's ridiculous. They're down to like the fifth and sixth receivers that started training camp. It's that bad. But yeah, it was a good week for football. I didn't have such a great week. Maybe I need to have Nico in here all the time. But Matt, you're at 70. Before we started, Mike gave us all wins for Minnesota. They lost. So Matt's at 74. Russ is at 71. Mike's 67. He passed me, leapfrogged me, and I'm at 64. So I guess I won't make any more jokes about Mike's picks.
Hey, was there a pick this past week that was the
Yes. No, there wasn't.
That was for maybe the more than 10 points?
No.
Okay, because I had myself down for 8 wins.
There's a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had Tennessee, Kansas City, Oakland, Jets, New England, Denver, Atlanta, Dallas.
I have a Tennessee, Cincinnati. That doesn't count. Kansas City, Oakland, Seattle, D-Town.
It's all good Jets, podcasting.
New
right
England,
here.
Denver, Atlanta, Dallas, Minnesota.
Yeah.
But Minnesota doesn't count anymore.
No. So we'll add that after the podcast.
The ones that I had right were Tennessee, Kansas City, Oakland.
Okay.
Jets, New England.
All right. Let's just do this off because we're trying to finish here quick. Let's just do this off here.
And FYI, Russ, Mike does send out a little post about the wins, so you could always, you know, just text us back. Just FYI. Anyway, if there's any adjustments that need to be made, Russ, we'll make sure. Contact your local legislature. Vote tomorrow.
Let's keep track at home, Mike's Sporting Becky. We will get this updated. We will personally email you what Russ's numbers were this week.
Yes.
But for right now, and you know, he's at 71, where he should be. All right, Russ, can we start though?
Yeah,
it's late.
Can I finish?
So
can I finish?
Okay.
You know, it's hard to pick when you have the wrong score on there, though. You know, just so you know, emotionally.
I'm cool with it because my picks are always wrong anyway. So
it's also hard to pick when it's 1:15 in the morning.
A few hours.
All right, what's the first game of the week, Jack? The Thursday night game, the trash game that CBS would never want to pay for.
It's Atlanta versus Tampa Bay. Atlanta came back and beat Green Bay. I'm going ATL.
I'll take Atlanta.
All right, I'm taking Atlanta. I feel this is a sweep coming on since Tampa Bay couldn't pull off the win against Oakland.
Even though Oakland had 25 penalties, 23 penalties?
The most ever. They still win.
But isn't it truly fitting that the Raiders should have that record?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Mike, who are you taking?
Clean sweep. And hopefully in future weeks, right, we can sweep over these clean sweep games.
Yes, I agree with your note on that. We can kind of talk about that in the show notes after the
I agree also. Podcast. Only thing is this week I didn't write down the – I just noticed I didn't write anything down. So I'm writing the I'm writing the schedule.
I can only imagine that was from Russ.
It did sound like a Russ thing there.
Ruben Turtles. Yeah. Sure.
It's like butt cheeks on vinyl there. It's a classic. So, come back for more, stupid guys, after hours.
Was that you, Russ? Russ?
Yeah.
Pass out. You? Seat. Just slid down.
All right. Negative on that one, Captain. We'll just keep moving then.
Next up, we have a division rival, Pittsburgh versus Baltimore.
I'll take Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, 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 Vicksburg.
Boy, Pittsburgh seems to be the favorite on this one. Baltimore's so up and down. But Baltimore's coming off the,
off the bye.
Yeah.
Did they add any players?
I don't think so. I'm taking Pittsburgh as well. On the road, in the morning, division rivalry.
In the morning, in the evening, ain't we got fun? Michael.
Baltimore is on a 4-game losing streak, so you figure they got to win eventually. Unless they're the Cleveland Browns, who are on an 8-game losing streak. But I think Baltimore wins here. I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Really? Baltimore. I thought about Baltimore. It's a tough game. Fans don't like the Pittsburgh fans. It's going to be ugly in the stands. That rhymes. I'm going to go Pittsburgh, though. I think Pittsburgh has too much for Baltimore.
That would actually be a good game to go to.
Yeah, as long as you're neutral.
Yeah. And you like those kind of games.
Yeah, so. Just like
slugfest.
Do we think low scoring game?
I think it's a 6-6 tie, more likely. I mean, what? We've had ties twice in a week. We need to get the trifecta here.
Almost had two ties last week.
We did. What's the next game, Jack?
Next game is Dallas versus Cleveland. Just off the top of my head, anyone picking Cleveland?
No.
No.
The 9-game losing streak will happen.
Is it a 10-point spread or no?
7.5. We can move on to next game.
Well, next up is Michael. Jags versus Kansas City. Anybody picking the Jags?
Nope.
No. The AFC South champions, it's not happening for the Jags this year. I'll just have to keep my hopes up for next year.
Luckily, you didn't bet the house on it. Next up is me. It's New York Jets versus Miami. Oh, man. Jets struggled against Cleveland. Miami was off. It's at home. I'm going to take Miami. Russell.
I'm taking the Jets.
Jets.
I'm taking the Jets as well. I can't trust Miami. Like it's too up and down there. I don't. Even as bad as the Jets are, like in that game, I can't believe that they were going to lose to Cleveland. Mike, do you have any faith in your town, your team?
Well, I think the coach Adam Gase finally figured out. Like he figured out a plan. Do not let Ryan Tannehill touch the ball or throw the ball at all. Just hand it off to JJ every time. So I think Miami wins here.
I hope you get your JJ fan board worked out.
Does he get 3 straight games at 300 yards?
Hell no. Ooh. They put a bet up on, one of the radio hosts down here asked like one of the Vegas casino what that the odds of him getting another 200-yard game the rest of the season. And they put 150-1.
Did it help him having a week off, though?
I know, but he's the only guy who has a 200-yard rushing game this year, and he's got 2 of them.
I know. I'm just
we're
saying,
like halfway through the season.
He's on a roll. Do they give?
Yeah, like
have a little faith, baby.
They just don't happen that often.
All right, I get that, but it just all right. I'm gonna say he's gonna do it. That's why I'm picking Miami. There, you heard it live on Sports Talk with 3 Stupid Guys. Next up is Matt, Philly versus the New York Giants.
We got Russ, this pick.
Oh, is it Russ? I'm sorry. Russ. Yeah. I forgot he was here. Unless he farts. How am I supposed to know he's here?
Who is it?
Philly at
Philly at the Giants. York.
I'll take Philly.
Yeah, this is a tough one because I just picked Philly and I watched them go toe-to-toe. With the Cowboys, I don't know. I thought they looked pretty decent. I'm surprised that they're doing this much with Wentz, but it's that hurry up offense. I believe the Giants are coming off a bye week though, so I'm picking them.
Taking the Giants.
Wait, no, they just flew to yeah.
They're coming off bye week and they had two game winning streak before that. Baltimore and LA.
Yeah, I'm picking the Giants.
All right, Michael.
Yeah, the Giants are a fresh team coming off the bye versus. Philly should be tired after that late night overtime game on Monday night. I'm going to go to the Giants here.
I'm also going to go to the Giants. I just noticed this is rivalry week for a lot of teams. You got Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Philadelphia, the Giants, Jets, Miami. Not huge, but there could pump up the ratings a little bit. The ratings slowed down.
Jets Miami is a huge rivalry though, like because there's so many New Yorkers living down here. There's a lot of fights in stands.
Well, that's nice.
So really? It'll be like Baltimore Pittsburgh. Lots of fights everywhere in the NFL this week.
But I'm just saying there'll be.
I hear the same way with Dallas and Cleveland. There's a lot of people living in Dallas and that are from Dallas living in Cleveland, and they're just mad because they're like, "Why am I in Cleveland?"
You might have a chance to win the World Series. You won the NBA championship. Stop complaining.
Humbug.
Poor Cubs.
Next up is Maddie, D-Town versus Minnesota. Minnesota looked like they were going to go undefeated, and they look terrible now.
So did Detroit. Detroit looked good, and what happened to them? Another stinker against Houston. I'm taking Minnesota. They're coming home. They're going to get it right. Especially against Detroit.
Rivalry game, another rivalry game.
It is, and it's an important one for that division because,
I agree.
Yeah, the glass slipper definitely looks like it's off Sam Bradford after tonight's game where he couldn't do anything on offense. But, like all season, he's been relying on that defense. I think defense wins the game for him, so I'm going to go Minnesota.
Minnesota. I'm also going Minnesota.
Sweep it.
Sweep it, baby. All right. Next up we have Mike, Carolina and the whiny quarterback versus the Rams.
Here we have a true rivalry game. The LA versus Carolina. Those cities hate each other. The long history between them. Whatever. I'm going with Carolina here.
Carolina. I'm also going to go Carolina. I think they've maybe righted the ship. They looked really good against Arizona. Arizona looks bad. So I'm going to go.
I'll take Carolina.
All right, let's sweep it. The only thing that LA can care is care less.
Next up is me, New Orleans versus 49ers. New Orleans had a big win on Sunday against Seattle. 49ers are terrible. I'm going to go New Orleans. Russell.
New Orleans.
Maddie.
Every time I've picked 49ers, they've lost. And every time that Jack calls me Maddie, I he knows. He knows.
Maddie Ice.
Matthew.
All right. I'm picking New Orleans. So.
All right. We can't have too many sweeps here, so I'm going to change it up here. I'm going to go to San Francisco. Just for fun.
Just for fun.
You're giving Jack a shot there.
Somebody has to. Next up is it Russ?
Russ, Indy, Green Bay?
Tennessee versus San Diego.
I'll take your Chargers.
Bosa. Dude's a beast. Next up, Matt.
Yeah, Tennessee actually, they won on Thursday Night Football. They've had all of this time. But I think San Diego at home, they're the better team. Let's be real. And San Diego's sharper. They've played the better team too. So I think they're going to be, as long as they don't lose three players like falling on soap in the locker room.
Could happen. So, could happen. Don't bend over, Chargers. Michael.
All right, I'll start off. I'm going super and Jack will go. Chargers.
San Diego. Superchargers, San Diego. We're sweeping it. Charges across the board. If they lose this, McCoy needs to be fired. Matt's Colts are up next. Colts versus Green Bay. And Matt, you have the first pick. Colts going into Green Bay.
I am not picking the Colts. I can't. I've lost way too many picks this season on picking the Colts. They're pathetic. Even as pathetic as Green Bay's offense is, Indy's defense is basically the highlight reel feed for all of the teams. You're welcome.
They made Nick Foles look like a Hall of Famer.
They did. It was bad. Yeah, and the Colts can't protect luck at all. So I don't know. It's Green Bay.
It shows you what it is.
This a 10-point game?
It is 7.
All right.
It shows you how important an offensive line is. Because you watch Luck, you watch Rivers, some of these quarterbacks just they have no time to throw, and I don't care who you are. They just take a beating. You look at Dallas, they have that great offensive line.
Yeah. Their offensive line actually makes Gore look better.
So they're good at run blocking, but not good at pass protection.
It seems like
you know. You know what's the funny thing about that though, is Dallas's offensive line is good, but they never protect Romo.
Maybe it's just that Prescott's better. You know, like
he's a little quicker.
Well, he doesn't have that Jerry Jones DNA. So.
No, that's true. So is it a clean sweep for Green Bay across the board?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Green Bay figured out they cut Niles Davis. So.
Yeah. Next up is Mike. Mike, right?
Yep.
This is another grudge match game. Denver versus Oakland. This is a tough one.
We find Oakland out if Oakland is finally for real. They've been feasting on cupcakes all season.
5-0 on the road.
Can they finally do it against a good team and a good defense?
Nope.
I will say yes.
Oh, okay. Mike's going Oakland.
You thought Russ was picking me for me this week, but no, I am picking for myself.
All right. We got Denver versus Oakland. Watch both teams play Sunday. Denver scored 17 points off turnovers. Their defense was, like I said, other than the first series of play, their pass rush was incredible. We couldn't slow them down. So I'm going to go Oakland.
Wow. It's shocking.
I'm a believer in David Carr. He's probably one of the better young quarterbacks in football. I'm still ticked he fell all the way down to the Raiders the second round. Russell?
I'm taking Denver.
Denver.
Yeah, I was going to take Denver too. So I thought you and Mike were just crazy for picking Oakland.
Oh, by the way, I'm a big fan of Derek Carr.
Do what?
I'm a big fan of Derek Carr.
Oh, did I say David Carr?
Yeah.
David Carr, brother. He's making a comeback. Comeback with Cleveland.
There was like a little stat they put out there that first year for David Carr, he got sacked 64 times.
Oh, he took a beating, yeah.
And the whole 40 games that Derek Carr started, he's been sacked like 44 times.
Yeah, they protect him. David Carr came up with Houston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was destroyed. And that does a lot to your psyche. I mean, you never recover from that sometimes. Last game of the Monday night game, I'm going first. It's Bills versus Seattle. I say Seattle wins this one at home.
I'll take Seattle as well.
Yeah, I think this is an easy, clean sweep.
Sweep, sweep, sweep.
All right.
There it is.
Before Jack closes out the show, I wanted to thank all of the feedback that we were getting in the Sports Talk post this week. There was a lot of nice discussion about, something that we've talked on the show, like why the low ratings. So, yeah. And so, I, you know... thanks a lot for the feedback. I'm not going to go through everything that Tucker and CP Jones or SP Jones, sorry.
Sink Pisser.
Ah, it used to be CJ, and now I understand what the SP is for. So anyway, appreciated reading all of the feedback there. And if you do want to send in your feedback, do it.
And I'll 385-309-0311. Call anytime.
I'd also like to thank the feedback in the chat room tonight at YouTube. We got Go Cowboys, 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 Cowboys. Cowboys number one. Love Mike's outfit.
Who is a Cowboy fan?
It wasn't Ed.
Clearly not
Ed. It wasn't Natalie in Denver. Okay.
not Fizzlehoff. So
I had to congratulate Natalie after her team won on Sunday. That hurt, but
that was very big of you.
It's just a game. I don't take it personal. I don't even get mad anymore.
You also want to send us feedback at Three Stupid Guys on Twitter, you can follow Jack on Twitter, you can follow Mike, even Russ, even though he doesn't know how to use it, and I'm on there just a little bit more than Russ. So but anyway, I just wanted to let people know how they could get in touch with us for Sports Talk.
You can also become a patron. Go to patreon.com/JayandJack. donate there, or you can go to our Facebook page, janejack.com. Right under there's a button that says patron. Become a patron and help support the show that way. And do what we do. And then I think this is going to be the format for the rest of the season, that we're going to do Walking Dead first half, sports talk afterwards, because we're going to do it on Monday night, because Wednesday night's recording. Well, it's 1:30 in the morning anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter. But that's it. That's all I
got.
Three special patrons, Pat from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter Glaffelder, and Brad from Chicago.
Chicago.
Thanks for doing what you do.
All right, guys. Great show. One in a million. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Bye.
Be good.
See you next week.
All right.